Some of y'all have been here when I've done the drosh, and I generally never do notes. I don't take notes. And so, but I've got notes here, and that kind of scares me. So, probably too many notes. So what I'm going to be talking on today is do you have an answer? And I hope by the end of this year, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Yes, I am nervous, so don't worry. But I've done some teaching, and this is not a place of comfort for me, but I have done some teaching in the past and stuff like that. And if you've been with my droshes, a lot of times they're pretty unorthodox, so it's probably what you're going to end up with again today. I have shut all the lights out on people and put dead fish underneath their noses to teach them about Jonah. Cindy likes the one that I did with the men's fellowship. I had to teach on circumcision, and lo and behold, before they knew it, I pulled out a piece of chicken skin and slapped it with a butcher knife, and that got their attention. So, but I'm going back to Pinchas, the drosh I did last week. There was a lot in there, and when the rabbi asked me to do this, there was one thing in there, and you're going to find out that I'm going to go down a rabbit trail, and I'm going to take you down a hole, but I'm going to bring you back out of that. But I saw that, but then when he said, hey, can you do this for me? And I said, yeah. So last week, I didn't speak on this at all. You know, I spoke about the inheritance and sons and stuff like that. Years ago, Cindy and I were on a cruise with some friends of ours. And I don't know how the conversation came about, and we were sitting at the table. And he basically said, you know, the Tanakh, the Old Testaments are relevant. Well, my hair stood up, white heat went up my back, and I started talking, and Cindy kicked me under the table. And I said, yeah. So we didn't have any more conversation about that. But we were in the island of Carousel, and I don't know if you've ever been in any islands. There's synagogues throughout the Caribbean. Strong influence, especially with the Sephardic Jews. And if you've never been in any some of these synagogues, they are beautiful like you would not believe. They have white sand floors. It reminds them of the promise to Abraham, and it reminds them of the desert. And it happened to be we got back on the cruise after that. Cindy and I went and spent our time in there. They went off another place. We were sitting in this like foyer area, whatever like that. An Orthodox Jew came by that I knew. And we sat down. He said, I can't believe you're here. So we sat and we started talking. And he'd been to the synagogue too. Well, my friend was sitting next to me. And he just listened to us as we began to talk about different things. And things that he was talking about, and I was just going on and on and on. Well, a couple weeks later, when we were back, he said, all right, why do you believe the Old Testament has any relevance? And I began to tell him, and I gave him, can you hear me? Can you hear me? You got me now? And so I gave him some stuff to read, you know, and a couple of weeks later he came back to me and went, oh my gosh, I never knew. Each one of you, wherever your walk is in the Lord, you need to be able to answer. You need to have an answer to people's questions. Not all the time you're going to have an answer. I know that. Sometimes I just have to say, I don't know. But I'll go look it up, and I'll see what I can find out, and I'll get back with you if you have that opportunity. Let me just take you through a thing. You know where we're at with Pinchas? You know where that situation was last week? You know, they've gone through everything, and now they're back to this point. They're getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Everything's going back over. They're going back over through all this stuff. You know, God protected them. Then he kind of lifted it off a little bit, and what did the guys do, you know? Went with the women on the other side, and, you know, But how did we get to that point? And this is where I just want to show you a few scenes, and you'll understand what I'm talking about here. Go all the way back to Genesis. You got Adam and Eve in the garden. And you've got the serpent. And the serpent begins to ask him, saying, hey, everything going good? You know, how's everything? You know? And as they say, yeah, everything's great, but we can't eat off of that. Really? Why not? Well, you know. And she begins to spill it out. Of course, she says touch, which God never said touch. But freeze that frame right there. Eve, you got the answer. God said, don't. That's all she would have had to done. Or she could have best said, hey, listen, we're going to be walking in the cool of the evening. And I'll tell him what you said. See what he comes up with. But no. Fast forward a little bit. We get to Abraham. And there's famine in the land. And where does he go? He goes down to Egypt. And what's his answer? If anybody comes up and says, hey, sir, is that your wife? No, that's my sister. Bad news. Because what did he do? Who did he bring out of Egypt? And even if it was prevalent, I have to say, a guy ought to know not to do what she asked him to do. And he has with Hagar. And we've got Ishmael. Do we have a problem today? We certainly do. He should have known the answer. Go a little bit further. Moses hasn't come down yet. We've got everybody getting a little rowdy, whatever like that. So they go to Aaron and say, hey, listen, we need something. You know, we need something to worship. You know, Moses ain't coming down. We don't know what happened to him. Aaron had the answer. He should have said, nope. I'll wait. We're going to wait for him. If anything, I'll go look for him. But no, what did he say? Give me all your gold. And holy cow, what did we end up with? A problem. And then, of course, we know the story of the spies and stuff like that. So each time, you can see where the answer that should have been given would have saved a lot of heartache, death, you know? I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm guilty of it. I know sometimes I know I should have said no and I didn't, you know, and I have paid dearly for that, you know, not doing. What I want to take you to is Pinchas here, is if you know where that is, it's Numbers, really, 25. But I want to go to 26. And I'm going to do a verse here. And like I said, this is a rabbit trail. And you're going to say, how did you get to this point? Well, it's funny. I looked at this and it started me down a rabbit trail. But then all of a sudden, during the week that I had looked at this, there were several things that were going on. And one of them was that I was talking to a man one night. And he used to be a non-believer. And he said that, hey, there was times that I was asking questions. But he said, you know, nobody was giving me any answers. He said, they just kept saying, you just got to have blind faith. You just got to have blind faith. And he was like, I just could not believe it. Why didn't they have something to say to me? But they didn't. But thank God he eventually became a believer. What I want to talk, if you look up here in verse 12, 26, 12, it says, the sons of Simeon according to their clans of Nuel and the clan of the Numenites, and of Jamin, the clan of the Jamanites. This is my rabbit trail. I looked at that and I said, Gemini. So I said, oh man, this is a clan I could really get into, you know. You know, I mean, I could hang out. I could see the tabernacle, you know, and I could see everybody stretched out around. Of course, they've been reduced in numbers because of, you know, that whole thing of going with the Midianite wives and all. But you can see they're probably just a small group. And I don't know if you've ever been around drum circles or anything like that, you know. And I just was thinking about it. I said, yeah, here's this little small little tribe. They're probably making more racket than anybody else is, and they're just jamming. You know, I said, and you know, that's my point, but I was like, man, how neat is this, you know? I said, that's the tribe I'd like to be with right there, jamming. Well, my rabbit hole took me that once I started that, then I said, okay, take it and go down further. Let's go look at that song. And I don't know if any of y'all in here know it or whatever like that, but it's Bob Marley, and it's, you know, I'd be jamming. So I began to look at that song, and his album is Exodus, and I kept going down further and further through those words, and it talks about Mount Zion. You know, it talks about, if you look at, and I'll tell you in a second, but if you look at Psalm 68:4, there's abbreviation in there of the Lord's name, and in them is Jah, to us it's Yah, but it's Jah, and that's what they call God. But their philosophy is this: around in the 1930s, a guy came to power, Hellasi, and they believe that he is the Messiah incarnate. They believe that God is human. As I began to look at that song, I said, good Lord, you know, probably been singing that thing for years anyway, you know, and just really never paying any attention to any of that. I said, man, you know, so I looked into Rastafari, you know, I started looking into that and their beliefs and stuff like that. And I was like, oh my gosh. Because I was thinking about what that man had said to me. Nobody could give me any answers. From there, I'm kind of walking by the TV later on in the week, and I see a man from LDS praying. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm like going, oh no. You know, I don't know if you know that it is Latter-day Saints. They too believe that God is a man. And if you look at a lot of their stuff that they write, it's just unbelievable what they come up with. They do not believe that Scripture is infallible, you know, that it can be translated and there could be mistakes. But they do believe that you can, through righteousness and going through one thing after another, that you can become God one day. And I'm not really, I say this not to bash those people. And really, I started looking at the Jehovah Witness, you know, I looked at Jehovah Witnesses, same thing. I was like, Lord have mercy. How many of us have had those people knock on your door? Have you been able to talk to them? Have a conversation with them? I know we did one time, and Lord, one of the girls had come up there and was with them, and she was a Methodist, grew up a Methodist, and she had converted to Jehovah Witnesses. Well, we began talking, and next thing you know, the one was saying, hey, we need to leave. We need to leave, we need to leave, we need to leave. And the Methodist was like, well, really? And I'm like, yeah, we were talking about it. And next thing you know, I mean, God ordained that one guy. She goes, I've got a stomachache. Can I use y'all's bathroom? You know, and she took off for the bathroom, and we hemmed up that Methodist, you know, and just had her totally confused. But I couldn't believe that she had converted from that to that. So what I say is, do you have an answer? Do you have an answer sometimes when God looks down or temptation comes your way, as Toby said? Do you have that answer? No. Time to run. Do you have an answer for when people of other faith come? Because I say this, and I was really going to say this probably more towards the end, but I say this right now. not to put anybody up on the pedestal. I have no idea why you're here. I don't know if you just come here for the novelty of it to hear Hebrew. I don't know everybody in here, so I really do not know where your walk and your faith is. But I'm telling you right now, you stand at an awesome crossroads at an intersection. Because you've got people who do not know the Lord, but you've got these that have so much of a weird, sometimes I go, good Lord, how did you come up with some of this stuff, you know? And then how you get people to believe in that in the first place, it's beyond me. So you got that. Well, if any of you have come up through the other way, in our church life and stuff like that, you know that you're going to have confrontation. I hate to say it, but you're going to have battles with them about why you believe what you believe, as far as that the Old Testament is relevant. None of that stuff has gone away. Yeshua didn't cancel it out. Because I hate to tell you this, when you get in the Messianic area and it says that the law will go forth from Zion and the Messiah is going to be there, guess what? He's going to be teaching it. I figure what he's going to do is get us all on the same page. You know? But yeah, how do you say no? And they come up with different things. I go, no. Book of Hebrews is a hard one to work through, but it can be done to an understanding to make somebody go, oh, yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, really, that does make sense about sacrifices and stuff like that. But we also have our Jewish brothers and sisters who probably believe we have idol worship because we believe Yeshua, also being a man, is the Messiah. So I hate to say it. You are a light. An awesome light into this world. You are an intersection of so many different angles. With the internet nowadays, you have unbelievable opportunity. Of course, you got to watch what you look up, but you have so much information that you can get a hold of. You need, we have a thing of Jehovah Witnesses not too far from us up from the street. Read a little bit about the cults. And I say this into this. There are going to be people who are hurting. There are going to be those who are grieving, pain, whatever. Last thing they want to do is hear any facts from you. And there's times when I don't know the answer to them. Sometimes I just need to sit there. Just need to sit there and let them yell at you. Let them cry on your shoulder. That's them. But for everybody else, I'm telling you right now, Malachi 3:16, because we always do Malachi 3:10 to talk about tithing, and nobody seems to go any further. But Malachi 3:16, the sages believe that it says that God smiles down on you when you study the Torah, and when he sees one person to another discussing the Torah. If God cared so much about giving us that, and all your walk is for 30, 40, or 50 years is just, I do a daily Bible reading, I feel good about this thing. No. Cindy and I had the opportunity, like I said, a few years back, to be in Crown Heights. And that's the Lubavitch, that's the Hasidic, that's the Chabad Jews. And we were able to stay with a rabbi and spend with him all day and talk with him. Got all around. He knew. A lot of times you hear Rabbi Jew talk about the Rebbe McSnearson. And he knew him, so we were able to really get. But we also had an opportunity to look into the yeshiva. And when we first got there, they had the young women came in with their children into the library and went through a lot of stuff. But when we got to the yeshiva, the women were upstairs, and they're being taught. But from 9 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, they do study the Torah, but mostly the Talmud, but they're studying. Non-stop, talking to each other, and they memorize. You're looking at the Talmud, 22, 23 volumes. They can repeat it. But the Word of God is so important to them. Now, I've often read and often talked to them. The Orthodox Jews and stuff like that really have a problem with them because they are so ultra-Orthodox. But this is what they do. They have arranged marriages. And what they do is they take that couple, usually in their 20s or whatever like that, they send them to Timbuktu. If they know there's some Jews in Timbuktu, guess what? That's where they're going. And they go there and they set up a little school, you know, for the kids and stuff like that. Even though they have problems with the Hasidic Jews, they will send their kids there because they are so well versed in the Torah, in the Talmud, in the whole writings. You know, they want them to learn from that. So many of us, that's a back burner. You know, I got an education. I got 4 years. I got to go to 8 years. I got to do this and that kind of education. I got this. I got to do this kind of thing so I can have money and this thing and all like that. And that usually is a lot of times, and I don't mean, if it's not to you, I don't mean that personally, but a lot of times that's just a daily Bible reading. No, man, that's a college career right there. You know, totally there. So I hope, you know, maybe took you down this rabbit hole or whatever like that as I began to just look at these different cults and stuff like that. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, so many times we just don't have an answer for somebody. You know, we don't study hard enough to know. And you go on through Pinchas over here and you get to this other part and it begins to talk about the different offerings and the Sabbath and stuff like that. You need to know that. Yeshua is in everything. Remember Emmaus? Man, you know, I mean, think about it. Two guys walking away, and Yeshua cared enough about those two guys to go find them and say, hey. And they're like, oh, man, haven't you heard? And he's like, no, man. When he opens up their eyes, he says, no, it's me. Oh, my gosh, we didn't recognize you. And then he sat down. And he said, everything from Moses and the prophets and everything else is about me. Can you imagine that? All your life, you have studied or you know something. And then he tells you, do you see me in it? You go, wow. Daily offerings. I talked about this last week a little bit. And I'm just going to go over a few of these. You got the morning and the twilight, afternoon or whatever like that. How does that relate to Yeshua? Yeshua crucified in the morning offering, dies in the evening. It's a burnt offering. It's continually before the Lord. Yeshua is in a heavenly temple before everybody up there, that whole crew, Almighty God, He's there for your behalf. He knows you, knows the hair on your head. He knows where you're at today. He knows if He needs to pray, you know, He says, man, God, you know, look at Dave, man. Look at Dave back here. God, let's give him one more day. Give him some, yeah, man, because you know what? He's going to, I mean, that. He's constantly before. He's ours 24/7. The Sabbath. In Luke 6:5, it says that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. What is Shalom? What is the Sabbath? It's a day that's set apart. It's peace. Yeshua is our peace. Oh, man. Passover. Thank God for that one. Reason why I say that is Passover lamb is not a sin lamb. It's not a sin offering. If you think that, get it out your head. It's an offering. The Passover lamb is what? Life, death to life. Yeshua took the keys to death. Without that, there is no resurrection. Without Yeshua's resurrection, we don't have anything. Passover lamb I mean, just need to go through it. Just continue. You can see Yeshua constantly. Offerings for the Feast of the Weeks. Hasidic Jews say this is a time for the shining of the soul. Offering for the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. Y'all need to be thankful, because one time I talked on this, walked outside the room, walked back in, had an air horn. Popped that air horn off. Thank God nobody had a heart attack. But I said, you know, that's how fast the Lord's coming, you know. Don't blow that trumpet and Yeshua is coming. Day of Atonement. Yeshua is our atonement, isn't he? He's paid that price for us. All we have to do is claim him. The offering for the Feast of Tabernacles. Sukkot tells us that God dwells with us. So throughout the offerings, the sacrifices, and everything like that, Yeshua is all the way through it. You need to know it. You need to study it. You never know when you're going to have that opportunity. You know the matzah and the stripes and the piercings and stuff like that. Somebody's hurting. Maybe you can give them comfort. Maybe you can just be here, like I said. With people who are taken off in some other direction, you need to be able to question them. You need to be able to sit down and talk with them, and you need to give them an answer. I pray, like I said, and then it goes on, you know, that goes on like that. You can constantly go throughout the scripture that there's so many references to the Messiah. But I'm going to end it here and just say this to you. Don't ever, ever stop learning that Word of God. Take the time. I'm telling you. I'll tell you a quick one, a little funny one. Years and years ago, I had a pastor kind of talk to me about teaching stuff like that. And he said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, I said, truthfully, I said, and believe me, I don't believe it happened, but I said, man, I like that double portion, you know. You're Elijah, I'm Elisha, I want the double portion." But it was also an evangelist with us, you know, and we were talking. So I went on the road with the evangelist. I said, you know, maybe this is something I like to do, but believe me, no, that is not something I wanted to do. But we were on the road and we were talking about doing this whole thing, and we stopped at McDonald's before we went to the church to preach, and I went to the restroom. And I'm telling you what, I'm serious about the Word of God, but God has also got a very sense of humor, man. I mean, He gave it to us. We need to laugh. We need to, you know, the love needs to come out of you towards people and to each other, and laughter and stuff like that. Well, I was standing there, you know, doing whatever, and about a 13, 14-year-old walked in and just stood there. And I said, well, maybe he's waiting for me and I'll leave and he'll. And I washed my hands and he just stood there, never said a word. That's weird. So when I turned around to go out, he reached out his hand like this. And said, he can always bear me witness because I don't tell stories, I don't tell lies. Not. He reached out his hand and he said, "My name's Elijah." I said, "Whoa." And I just stood there for a minute. And he walked out. I looked outside, couldn't find him. Man, when I got to that car and saw that evangelist and he had our biscuits, well, I said, "You're never going to believe it. I just met Elijah in the bathroom." And the other things I'd been talking to him about, he just went, "Oh, boy, yeah, I can believe it." You know? Those things do happen. You just never know. I don't know. I think God was rolling up there in heaven going, "Man, we have played another good joke on him again. You know, this is so much fun." You know. But thank y'all for the time to really allow me to do this. I thank you guys for your prayers, praying over me. You know, it means a lot. And I hope I haven't done you anything wrong here through this like that. I hope somewhere, even if it's nothing that I said, I hope God has spoken to you somehow and just spoken that little word into your ear and has blessed you today.